Backspin podcast. Welcome to a new episode of our Backspin 360 podcast. I'm your host, Lena. And if you're wondering why the hell I'm talking English, it's because I have a very special guest from the UK. Today here with me is Nems from Manchester. Welcome, Nems. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good as well. Thanks. Thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you as well.
Your mixtape, Do Not Disturb, has been out since last Friday, and I'm excited to talk about it with you. But before that, to give people a bit of context, let's go back a bit in your history. Given that you're only 20, is that correct?
19
even. Wow. It's quite insane how far you've come already. So take us back a bit with you. Can you tell us about growing up in Gorton, Manchester?
Growing up, it was mainly like, a lot of people are trying to achieve something, and it's the opposite at the same time. So you have the people who are really trying to reach their goals, and then you have the people who are sort of going down a bad path. And I happen to be just about in the middle, but it got to a certain point where I was just like, I need to just focus on myself and just keep going. And that's how I got here.
Yeah, I get that. So I guess that music was really helping you to be in like this middle of not one of the extremes. How did your connection to music develop so early?
Because my family always made music from young. So my mom made beats, my dad did reggae, and then my uncle also made beats. So just growing up, I've always had that music around me. So it's kind of inevitable that I was going to start.
That's really cool. Did your family like directly push you in that direction, or was it just the environment you grew up in that made you discover that you want to make music as well?
Yeah, I think it's mainly the environment, just being around them. It's an influence, but they never forced it on me.
Mm-hmm. I read that your dad is from Jamaica, and you also just said it. And I read that you said that your Jamaican heritage also helped you grow your personality over the years. Can you explain me how that was for you?
It's just the culture has a very big impact on me as a person, and obviously my family, etc. Growing up in that household as well, it just naturally has an effect on you. The same way you'll be influenced by music, because that's their background, I'm also influenced by that.
To me, that sounds like you grew up in a very loving household with like creative parents. However, I read that Gorton, the area where you're from, is seriously deprived, and perspectives for young people like you are pretty bad. But still, in your lyrics, I found that you don't really paint like this true crime scenery. You don't portray the hood. Instead, you mainly talk about personal problems. And I was wondering if that is a conscious decision to be relatable to a bigger audience, or if you just gravitate towards other topics naturally.
Yeah, it's more of a conscious thing. I just try not to talk too much about things, bad things that are going on. I think that it's better to be relatable with people than to talk about things where it's going to make people look at you in a different type of way.
All right. Let's talk about Do Not Disturb, or DND in short. How does it feel to have your debut mixtape out right now?
It feels good, man. We put a lot of work into it. So just to see that people like it and people are taking it in the way I wanted them to, it's just a good feeling all around.
I can imagine. Your EP, Nems Type Beat, dropped last year, which you said, I think, was just for the fans, and you were not taking things too seriously, and you wanted to give the fans what they've been wanting and waiting for. What was the goal with this specific project now? Was there a specific intention?
Yeah, mainly the intention was just to have an impact, just to let people know that, like, I'm not just the artist who can just do singles, like, I can make a body of work, and it's going to be at a certain level that you're going to respect.
Who would you say is this mixtape for?
For me? I'd say it's for me, to be honest. I'm just trying to impress myself more each time.
Yeah, preach. I listened to your tape, and I think that you show a very unique style, this like laid-back drill, but with soulful elements and very precisely picked vocal samples. But as far as I learned, you took your time with trial and error to find your distinct sound. And in the past, you experimented with different genres. Do you feel like you found your Nems type sound now?
Yeah, definitely. Finally. I feel like it definitely took a lot of time, though. Like you said, trial and error. But in order for me to find the sound, I had to go through that.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely think I found it now.
I reckon that one of your biggest idols is Michael Jackson.
Yeah, it is.
Partly because he just did his thing and he was like pursuing to be original. I feel like nowadays with everyone being connected globally through social media and being exposed to opinions from left and right, it can be really hard to trust in your own approach to art or making music. What helped you trust in your thing and not be influenced by other people's opinions?
I feel like it comes down to like you're in control of your life. So why should you care about what other people think when it's your life? That's just literally how I think about it.
It just boggles my mind that you're 19 and you have this type of insight and like being able to reflect on your life already. Because I mean, I meet people who are way older, like double your age, and they have not come to this point in their life where they realize that they are in control of what they can create and achieve.
I feel like it just comes mainly just seeing a lot as you're growing up. Like the things that I've gone through in the last 3 years might be something that people are meant to go through in the 30s. So, yeah.
It's like you're on a fast lane of life.
Yeah.
Another big contributor to your distinct sound, I think, is your producer, Cell, who you've been working for a while now, as far as I know. I'm curious to hear what your creative process is in the studio. Like, does he send you a bunch of beats and you pick from them, or do you go to the studio together? How does it look like?
To be honest, it's more of a thing where like I'll have a sound, I might find a sample or a sound, whatever, or just scrolling online. I'll send it to him and be like, oh, I made this beat, or it'll be vice versa, or it'll be like, oh, I've got this sound, but I don't know what to do with the beat. And we'll just kind of meet in the middle and just, it'll be a debate or conversation about it each time. We'll just be going back and forth, and then we'll come to a summary, a conclusion of it, and we'll just run with that. But it's never hard to make beats with him. He knows how to make a beat that's specifically for me, and I know what sounds need to be added on there. So it's good chemistry.
Yeah. That's interesting you say that, because I was looking up his beats that he put out on BeatStars, and I was listening through them. And I think it's clear that he didn't make them for you specifically. And now that you tell me that your creative process is more intertwined and there's no clear line between him producing and making the beat and you're just being the MC and putting your parts on them, it really makes sense to me. Would you say that producing in general is like a creative pursuit that you have for the future to be able to do that by yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I think down the line, when I've established myself to a certain point, I'll definitely take time out and just go branch off and see what I can do with it.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, it kind of belongs together. I mean, if you think about like Dizzy Rascal, for example, he started being a DJ and like making beats, and then he was just rapping afterwards.
True.
So, yeah, I can definitely see you like producing your own stuff as well. Is there something musically or sound-wise that you maybe would like to explore in the future, like in terms of genre?
To be honest, I'm quite versatile, but I just haven't showed that to everyone just yet, because I've seen that one thing's working. If it ain't broke, you don't need to fix it until you need to replace it. You know what I mean? So I feel like now it's more of a thing where with the next album, I'm probably going to do that. Probably just going to test out more things.
Nice. Yeah, I'm curious to hear that. Something you should probably trademark is the title of your mixtape, Do Not Disturb or D&D, because it's not just the title, right? It's you.
It's me, yeah.
This whole theme was already very present on your last EP. You're referring to yourself as Mr. D&D. I think you even have it in your bio on Instagram.
Yeah.
Can you explain more about your D&D attitude?
Basically, it's just because I'm more introverted than extroverted, so I like to be back to myself. I don't really like to, like, I'm not a person who doesn't talk, but I prefer not to. I prefer to just be in my own world, be left alone, do my own thing, and I'm only really open around people who I'm familiar with. So someone might meet me and think, oh, he's very quiet, and then my friend might be like, oh, I need him to show up, you know? So I feel like that just comes from, I'm not really sure where it actually comes from. But it's just been a thing where I've always had since like 2018. Like, people can never get through to me as well, trying to call me, can't get through to me. My mom, me, everyone just can never get through to me. So I thought I might as well just take the title that people are giving me.
I love how you are already answering some of the questions I had for you. Like, for instance, who you would shut off your D&D mode on your phone for. But if it's not even your mom, then I guess it's also not your management.
My mom's on favorites now. My mom's okay. Manager's on favorites. Everyone who needs to be is on there.
And I mean, you said that it's always been like that, but was there never a time where you felt like, okay, I need to be available for people or they expected of me, and then you went the opposite direction of saying, okay, this is not good for me. I need to shut myself off to be able to focus.
Sorry, repeat that again, please.
Like, was it always that way for you, or was there a time where you felt like people expect of you that you were available to them?
Yeah, it's always been like that for years. It's always been like that.
I saw that even The Guardian wrote that Do Not Disturb is full of introvert anthems. And you already said that you would call yourself an introvert. I was wondering, how does playing live shows and being naturally introverted go together?
To be honest, it's not that bad at the live shows, because you knowing that people are there for you, it already brings you out of that uncomfortable feeling. Because straight away, like, these people are here for me. They're going to know most of the songs word by word. So from that, my confidence is all the way up. And again, you probably have to get me to show up after that.
So maybe you are not naturally introverted, but just very selective with your social energy.
Yeah, I'd probably say that, yeah.
Do you think that not being as outgoing or social was helping, in your case, to focus on yourself and your work?
Yeah, definitely, because it just gives me all power to just focus on myself. There's not really that much distractions. I sort of put a limit at them.
It's kind of the opposite of what I'm experiencing in my environment or in general. Why do you think it is so hard for people to focus on themselves?
So, because there's so many distractions nowadays that it's very, very hard to focus on the things that you want to do. And I feel like people don't necessarily remove the distractions, but they can, because some of them you can't. Some things you're just going to get distracted naturally, but the things that people can actually remove, they choose not to. So that's why they find it hard.
Yeah. Although you might keep thoughts to yourself in your daily life, you're very open in your lyrics, though, especially on this tape. Like, you talk mental health problems, relationships, all sorts of relatable problems. And I have the impression it's really important to you that young people feel seen when they listen to your music. Somewhere on the mixtape, you also say, I'm not flexing, I'm venting, or something like that.
Yeah.
What do you feel like people your age struggle with most at the moment mentally?
I'll probably say mentally.
Or it doesn't have to be mentally. It can be in general.
I feel like self-worth, confidence. Like, a lot of people lack confidence because of social media and just seeing other people achieving so much more. Girls might see other girls who look prettier than them and think, I feel like they're very influenced by what's going on social media, and that sometimes has a bad effect on them.
Do you think about those people as your target audience when making music?
Not necessarily, but I definitely do try to make it as relatable as possible, though. When I'm going through that thought process.
What is the main message that you would like people to draw from your music?
I say, life's not that serious. That's what I'd say.
Nice, yeah, I would agree. Although on ETA you say, 1 year ago I felt worthless. And I thought that was really deep. Like, also on this track, I was surprised about this line.
Because
it was like this up-tempo beat and with Luciano on it, and I got in a different mood, and then I heard this line and I was like, wow, that's I was wondering what's behind that. Can you explain where that came from?
It just came from really that, like, not feeling fulfilled. Like, I could have achieved a lot, but if you don't feel fulfilled, you won't feel like that, you know? So that's just how I was feeling around that time.
I appreciate your honesty, man.
Sorry.
Speaking of Luciano, let's talk features. because originally D&D had only two features, one of them being Luciano, but yesterday, so Monday, I saw that you released a deluxe version with three more feature tracks, including Lil Yachty, Heady One, K-Trap, and another solo track of yours as well. What was the reason for that move?
I thought that people don't really get a lot of collaborations from me. So I thought I'd just bring some hard ones. I had to make sure I picked very selectively. And I just thought we could, each and every one of them artists, I thought, yeah, we can make something good in our own way. That's not too, it's still me, but it's a bit, just a bit further away. Something a bit different.
Yeah, nice. Who would you like to have as a feature in the future?
I'm not sure, you know. Probably Drake. I think that's the only one I'd be mad excited about.
It's interesting you say that, because that's what we talked about at lunch today in the office, because I told people that we're going to have a chat today. And I was like, yeah, just watch him. He will be with Drake on a track in the future. What really strikes me in general is your success rate at this young age. For instance, at the moment, I looked it up, you have over 1 million streams daily on Spotify. But you started releasing music when you were like 14. Is that correct? 14. Like 6 years ago? Yeah. When I think about most teenagers, like myself included, they don't have that type of determination yet, this long-term thinking, especially with like hormones and puberty hitting and everything. What was the biggest driver that kept you going at that age?
I'd probably say just, you know, when you have goals and you feel like you can hit them, I feel like that just keeps you motivated, definitely. And obviously, I generally have a passion for music as well, so it's not that hard to bring myself to make another song if one doesn't do well. Mm-hmm. So that just kept me going.
And was also probably the driver that you wanted to be successful in general, right?
Yeah.
What would you say distinguishes you from others who maybe started at the same time as you or have the same background as you but didn't manage to make the jump?
I feel like it's just where your mind's at. I feel like I just happened to have a clear mind at the time, and it was just easier to get to work, basically. But apart from that, I feel like it's more of a thing where you got to look at someone's work rate, like the work rate, because you can have the most talent in the world, but if you ain't got a good work rate, then you ain't really going to succeed to that person who does.
I mean, your streaming numbers definitely show that you are a hard worker and that people dig your music and relate to you. You'll be on tour this year in bigger venues than you were last year. And we already talked about Drake, who's co-signing you, Skepta. I think it's safe to say that you are on an upward spiral. How are you dealing with your current success mentally?
To be honest, I don't, like, I'm okay, but I don't really get to take it in. Like, because things happen at such a fast pace, like, I probably have to be on a holiday, sat on a beach and just think, oh, wow, I'm really here. Because at the moment, things are just happening so quick that I don't really get to take it in.
Yeah, I can imagine. I guess your schedule is like pretty tight at the moment. Yeah. Do you ever feel pressure of not slowing down?
No, I don't really feel the pressure for some reason.
That's good, yeah. But regardless, I think you, whenever you find the time, you should really take it to process everything that's going on and to be able to also enjoy it.
Definitely.
All right, Nems, last question. What is one piece of advice you would give people your age or even younger?
I'd probably say, anything that you're trying to do, study it like it's a subject in school, because you're not going to walk into a test and fail without revising. I mean, you're not going to walk into a test without revising, you know? So treat it like that with any subject. It could be music. Just educate yourself to the max and you'll pass.
Yeah, I'm going to write that down as well. I think that's good advice for me too. All right, Nems. Thank you so much for your time and energy, and good luck with everything still awaiting you this year.
Thank you.
People listening, that was Nems at Backspin 360. I hope you enjoyed the conversation. If you did, feel free to follow us and share this episode. I am Lena, your host, and I wish you a wonderful rest of your week. Stay tuned. Backspin. Podcast.